The University of Detroit Mercy presents another encore presentation of a classic Ask the Professor radio program. Today's show takes us back to November 2008.
The University Tower chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the radio show where you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Kathy Bush, and today we have two people with us. Roy had to leave to finish up some advising, but we're fortunate to have two men from engineering and sciences with us today. So let me introduce the panel to you. To my right, from the Department of Mathematics and Math Education, and as of today, a new homeowner, it's Professor Jeff Boats.
Oh, it feels good to finally get that all taken care of.
Oh, God, I bet. What a load off you.
The economy and the banks are so untrusting. You know, I have a credit rating that's really, really high.
I make decent
money, and so you can understand why they would make me...
You would believe the hoops I had to jump through. Yes, I would believe it.
Never missed a payment of any kind on any bill in my life.
I know. I think about my nephew, same thing. Oh, my God. It took him almost 2 months. And he just kept saying, why did I have a good credit rating? Why did I never go into massive debt? Why did I always pay my bills on time for this, to get treated like this?
Yeah, it doesn't matter anymore. You still get a hard time, no matter
who
you are.
And that's what he said. So, yeah. So, congratulations. Yay.
Thank you.
We're so happy about your home. Now, a current homeowner, but at the far end of the table, also from Engineering and Science, our keeper of the pre-college engineering program keys, it's Dan, the Depps at Man Maggio.
Hi, Kathy.
Hey, yeah. So you've been through it. You could tell, Jeff, it's always not a fun thing to do that home mortgage stuff.
Yeah, I think I went through the period where they were just giving them away. But I didn't borrow more than I should have.
You didn't borrow to get a $500,000
home?
No,
and I got a fixed loan. So today... I get to use my tax money to bail out all the people who didn't choose as wisely.
Yeah. That was one of the best This American Life programs I've heard in a long
time.
Yeah,
that was the most
Which is
excellent.
A great radio program. So for people who like radio, do listen to Ira Glass on This American Life. But that explanation of that guy who had no job and no income, how he got... I mean, and then I'm looking at you, and again, you are so responsible... And these people got these loans that were unbelievable, again, with no income.
Yeah,
how did that happen?
I mean, if to bail them out to help stabilize the economy, fine, but I want a 0.5% cut on my mortgage rate.
Yeah. Or something
that way. I want something for doing the right thing.
Yeah.
Or next time I'll just screw up and let somebody bail me out.
The boat will have left, unfortunately. That's the way it works.
I'm sorry, but the people who took the loans have to bear some responsibility.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And knowing what they're capable of doing and what they're not capable of
doing.
You
mean you're not blaming those predatory loan companies like most other people are?
No. I mean, there's a simple rule of thumb for your mortgage. Isn't it like 2.5 times your annual income?
Thank you. I know.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Sarah Burby, for example, I mean, she used to run that formula by people.
That's exactly what
said. You know, if you can't afford it, why would you do this? I mean, crazy. Oh, wow. Well, this is a show where you can send us questions about crazy mortgage rates, about crazy lenders, about a lot of crazy things.
For a second there, we were in danger of becoming another one of those. Every talk show is talking about this.
Well, of course they are, but because it is so crazy. You just can't believe this is really happening.
Yeah.
But at any rate, if you send us questions and you stump the panel, you win a fabulous T-shirt. And if you don't stump the panel, you still get a T-shirt. So maybe in these hard times, you might need some extra clothing. So how about sending us some questions?
Okay. Hey, I have Tech Day T-shirts.
I know. And
finally,
I've got the new Ethic Bowl. So bring them on over. And, you know, you can sport the proud slogan of Tech Day or of Ethics Bowl. And you can wear them and, you know, look seedy when you try to get a loan. Maybe you'll get more money if you wear a T-shirt instead of going respectfully dressed and with a good credit record in hand. So how can you get those questions to us?
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Now, we left off last time. We were in the middle of a set of questions from one of our current students, Natalie Bohe. And these were 15 questions. So far, you only got 2 wrong, which is pretty cool. It was the Enya question on County Donegal and that quiz show. Jeff, had you ever heard of a quiz show called One Versus 100?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. I must be living like in a vacuum.
I've heard of it. That's does Drew Carey host that?
No, Bob Saget.
Okay.
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
The other washed-up sitcom.
Yeah, I was going to say, okay.
Who swears too much.
Okay. Yeah, he has really, you know, he might have that nice little... Full House image, but the boy is dirty.
Oh, yeah. He didn't turn dirty. He'd been dirty.
Oh, he'd been dirty. Okay. Yeah, because that's... I couldn't believe when I finally saw something with him in it that it was like, This isn't the guy that my nieces used to watch on Friday night with the Olsen twins,
right? He had one of the best aristocrats jokes.
Yes, he did. That was a film I saw, and I just, oh, my God.
Have you seen his HBO special?
Yes. And then after that, I was like, yeah, that's him.
Make the kids leave the room.
Absolutely. I made my mother leave the room. Are you kidding me? My God, it was incredible. So these questions are kind of a mixed mash of trivia, but so far, again, have been really, really good. Who provided the voice for Ariel in Disney's The Little Mermaid? Okay, let's see.
Seen it like once.
First name is the same name as a very good American actress who was strangely connected with a
Catherine
assassin of a president.
Apparently not.
A would-be assassin. She was in Taxi Driver.
Tatum O'Neill. Oh, not Tatum. Jodie Fisher.
Oh, Jodie is the first
Jodie
name.
Foster.
Okay, yeah, okay. Jodie Foster.
Foster, right, sorry.
Okay, so you got Jodie. And the last name is the same name as the program that was about an African-American butler or manservant who was very,
Benson?
Very close. Yes, Jodie Benson.
Never heard of Jodie Benson.
Never.
Neither have I, but there we go. You got it that way. From where was the rock group ABBA? What country did they originate?
Sweden.
They did indeed.
I had to stand back and let Dan take that one.
Well, why not? Why
You're
not?
You're a big fan, right?
Oh, they're great.
Well, Mamma Mia, the stage play was like
Come on,
so
yeah,
great.
It's really great.
The film, I have to admit.
I didn't go.
I didn't enjoy it.
And I won't see it.
My mom was dying to see it, okay? No, just, and so, how do you say no to your mother when
yeah,
she
I'm
wants to see a film?
I'd rather go pay to see the stage play.
But
production.
The stage play was so great, and the film just did not match up to it, I'm sorry to say.
It was Meryl Streep, honestly.
Well, I have to admit, too, even though Pierce Brosnan, many women consider him eye candy, he is like a total elephant dancer. I'm sorry. I have never, he really was very not a great singer or dancer.
Oh,
and he looked almost like screamingly uncomfortable in the role on top
I
of it.
I want to see on stage at least that they're singing and
Dancing.
And they're doing well at
it.
It's
yeah, there's
really
just
good.
Something totally different that way. What Japanese animated series became the first foreign show to be debuted in the United States?
Oh, wow. Clutch Cargo?
No, this is really interesting. It's two words, one of them being a gender. And the
Gotcha Man?
No.
Actually, I'm not making that up.
Okay, I liked it.
My favorite cartoon as a kid was called Battle of the Planets, and it was a remake of the Japanese Gotcha Man.
Oh, okay.
Not Pokemon.
No, not Pokemon. The first name of this is the same name as the dog in the Jetsons.
Astro?
Astro.
Uh-huh. Okay, so Astro.
I have no idea what this is.
Astro Boy. That's it. I've never heard of Astro Boy.
Never heard of it.
Not that I know a ton about Japanese animation. We have a mutual friend who's very fond of things like Stingray. But those were puppet animation, Marionation, they called it. It was marionettes in animation.
Oh, I never heard of that one.
They were very interesting. They were done in Great Britain.
There was a show in the 80s called Stingray, but it was about a guy with sort of a Knight Rider spinoff.
Yes, Knight Rider spinoff. But this was original. And the only bad thing about these programs with the marionettes, of course, is that they didn't find a way to really hide the strings. So it was a little off, so to say. True or false, the croissant originated in France.
I have to say false.
It is
or
false.
Or you wouldn't have asked.
It's tricky, right?
It's too, I mean, that's just too, too.
Do they say where it was originated?
No, she doesn't. So we'll have to ask her that. Where did it come from?
McDonald's.
It probably came from the U.S. It's just like croissant would sound good or something that way. Can you name the Ukraine's most famous poet?
No.
Does his name rhyme?
No, and I'm almost afraid. I'm really frightened to try the last name. Taras is the first name. It looks like Shevchenko.
Oh,
Shevchenko.
Shevchenko.
I think she won a T-shirt.
I think she won a T-shirt.
I,
okay,
I was hoping you,
Natalie,
I was hoping you were
going to
ask the capital
shirt.
City. I think that's the one thing I know.
Oh, really? What's the capital of the Ukraine?
Kiev.
Kiev. Oh, okay. All right. So those are interesting, Natalie. Well, make sure you get the shirt, girlfriend. And thank you. Those were interesting. A winner. You were a winner. You beat us. You beat us like a stepchild. So there you go. Okay. Our next set of questions deal with winter trivia.
Ooh.
And I'm not sure about where you're listening to this and what part of the country where you're streaming this over the internet, but it just has gotten done cold here in Detroit, folk. And snow flurries have already hit, and they're predicting more this weekend.
They are.
Ooh, brr. Okay. At what temperature does water spontaneously freeze?
32 degrees Fahrenheit.
At sea level.
At sea level. There you go. Yeah, at 32 degrees.
It didn't say where, it said what.
Oh, okay. Now, if you poured a cup of water out of a window, okay, since it's not at sea level, they're saying, what would the air temperature have to be so the water would freeze before it struck the ground?
Now, this would be window.
Below. This would be below zero, of course.
Well, they say in Antarctica, if you open a cup of coffee up, within seconds, it will burst out of the cup in frozen crystals.
Yes.
But, of course, they have temperatures of about minus 200 Fahrenheit down there.
I mean, we'll guess minus 50.
You're so close.
Well, 52?
No.
48?
I'll give it to you, 45.
Oh. That's Fahrenheit?
Below 45, yeah. Fahrenheit. 45 below zero Fahrenheit is
okay,
how they list
so that's
it, not
minus
Celsius. 40.
Well, wait a minute. I've been up to Hornhayden, Canada. That's
where I learned
to curl.
Yeah.
And at night down in March... not even January, in March, it got down to like minus 35 at night.
Oh.
That's not wind chill, that's the temperature.
Just the temp. Oh.
So that seems hard to believe.
Yeah. Well.
I don't know. I'm not buying that one. I think it would be colder than that.
You know, we've had some interesting things today. Roy's going to be checking on an answer about Georgia being the last state to join back into the Union. We've had some doubts on that. And then here we'll ask Jeff, is a banana a berry?
Huh?
See? There we go.
Well, the bigger question was, what's the definition of a berry?
And Michael was so kind to go to Wikipedia and pull off some cool stuff on berries. It was really cool, but there you go.
That might be.
Which of the following would not be affected by wind chill? A person, B, a dog, C, a bird, or D, a car radiator?
C, a bird.
Yeah, birds fly south before wind chill gets... to be important, right?
Well, I'm asking all of you.
That's not why.
So you're going to go with the bird?
Well, I am.
I don't understand why it would affect D, but okay, I'll go with C. That sounds better.
The car radiator?
Yeah.
You're right. It's a car radiator.
because it doesn't have any skin.
Well,
that's
there you
why
go. And that just says wind chill is a combination of wind and temperature based on the rate of heat loss from exposed skin. So as wind increases, heat is carried away from the body at an accelerated rate, driving the body temperature down. Therefore, a car radiator has no, doesn't have that function. So that's kind of interesting. Right. What is the difference between sleet, hail, and freezing rain?
Hail is rain that freezes before in the upper atmosphere before it hits the ground.
Okay.
Sleet is wet snow. So it's actually snow that melts.
It's sort of melting in the process. Okay. And then freezing rain freezes after it hits the ground. It's rain as it falls.
That is exactly it. He notes here that freezing rain is liquid rain that freezes to a surface. He said, usually here, roads or trees, which is true.
Yeah.
I mean, you've seen when the trees are so beautiful when they're icy, but then they take down how many...
Freezing rain is the most brutal.
Yeah, well, that was so odd. Last Monday morning, this Monday morning, past week, when I taught at 8 in the morning, maybe because I live so close to the university... I didn't run into all the traffic issues that people ran into.
Oh, yeah.
But, okay, so you live further out. That's right. Duh.
It wasn't as bad as the first snow, though. The first snow, everybody forgets they're from Michigan.
Yeah,
35-minute commute
nuts.
Turns into 2 hours.
But there were people that were stuck. We had a trainer come in to do computer training for us for Banner, and he was 2.5 hours on the Jeffries because they closed off. Yeah, there was a terrible,
somebody died.
Somebody died in a car wreck on that.
Well, I've learned don't even take the highways.
Not the first snow. Thank you. Yeah, don't.
I'm so glad I don't take the freeways.
I know. The streets are so much easier that way. True or false, it must be 32 degrees Fahrenheit or colder for it to snow.
False.
False.
That is absolutely, you are correct there. You know, it's been known to snow with temperatures in the mid-40s.
Well, not too far. You don't have to go very far up before it's colder than that.
Right.
That's
surface temperatures in the 40s. Okay. On an average, 1 inch of rain is equivalent to how many inches of snow?
10.
Yeah. How did you know that? You're from Pennsylvania?
That's always...
Well, you get massive snow where you're from because you got the lake effect in the area.
Yeah,
when you were in Western New York State, you must have got a boatload of snow.
We don't get hit hard as hard as Erie, but we're just close enough. We got nailed too.
I was going to say because that part,
it was fun.
No, growing up as a kid, I loved snow.
Yeah.
It was a blast.
You know, I don't, now I'm so glad I have somebody to come and shovel out my walk for me. I'm so glad I have a service to
that. That's awesome when we were kids.
But now that we're teachers, I mean, it's still a get out of jail free card, just like when we were kids.
It so much is. While we think about a snow day, let's take a break.
It's an Ask the Professor flashback.
The University of Detroit Tower Chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the radio program on which you match wits with University of Detroit professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. Questions today about Melville, Charles Dickens, Tolstoy, and the Cambrian rocks. How's that? Today's panel, I'm the man with all of the questions and most of the answers, Bill Raby. On my right, History Professor Frederick H. Hayes.
Thank you, Bill.
Thank you, Professor Hayes. On my left, Russell McLaughlin of the University of Detroit Green Room Programs.
How do you do, I'm sure?
Yes. Thank you, Professor McLaughlin. And our middleman again, Professor John Mahoney of the University of Detroit English Faculty.
With approval of that, certainly. How do you do?
All of the questions used on this program are submitted by listeners. If you stump the expert, you will receive a subscription to a national magazine, The Atlantic, Harper's, or America. Now, this message from the University of Detroit. Thank you. This question is from Carl Budd, B-U-D-D, of Detroit, Michigan. Actually, he sent three questions, and again, we warn the listener, if you're going to send three, send them all in one batch.
You can't divide 16 by three.
No, but you can divide the sheets on which he writes them into three.
Yeah, but each one was sent in a separate envelope, you see.
Yeah, so he's wasting 12 cents there.
Yeah. I see what you mean, Fred, yeah. I bow to that brilliant piece.
Send them all in one envelope.
Brilliant piece of economic mathematics.
In Charles Dickens' Pickwick Papers, what was the name of the law firm which represented the plaintiff, Mrs. Bardell?
Oh, that was, wait a minute, the, give me a little tiny clue, will you?
Well, you may have a little trouble seeing the whole thing clearly. It may be sort of misted over.
Dim and dimmer.
Wait a minute, just, will you give me the first name of the firm?
Dodson.
These questions.
Dodson and Fogg. Right. Dodson and Fogg.
All right, half credit.
And we're back. Gosh, thinking about wasting 12 cents worth of stamps.
Just thinking about
it. I totally missed it. Oh, my goodness. And we're back with questions dealing with winter trivia and weather. Can it snow from clear skies, that is, without clouds?
No.
Okay.
I don't see how either. Okay.
It says yes, it can.
Huh.
Ice crystals sometimes fall from clear skies when temperatures are in single digit or colder. Hmm. But I'm just trying to figure out, then where does it come from?
It's condensed water vapor, I guess.
But doesn't that make a cloud?
Well, that's what I thought clouds were. Yeah, that's so weird. I would have said
really.
No as okay. well, because to me, I've never seen snow falling in a clear sky.
Well, if snow is falling, then the skies aren't clear. So therefore, in the typical Carlin logic, we've thrown that one through.
There we go. Okay. Mm-hmm. What is more hazardous to tree or power lines, 1 inch of wet snow or 1 inch of ice?
1 inch ice.
Absolutely. Because it's so much heavier.
Can you imagine an inch of ice?
I'm trying to imagine an inch of ice, and that's like...
I wouldn't be going anywhere.
I would be too afraid. Thank you. Yeah, it says it's that 1 inch of ice is powerful enough to cause trees to come down.
Yeah,
they're not talking about branches. Bad. They're talking like trees, which is pretty scary.
That's pretty bad.
Oh, my goodness. Which of the following impacts could you expect from a great nor'eastern? Okay. Right, and here are the categories. Heavy snow, high winds, coastal flooding, blizzard, all of the above, or none
all
of the above.
All of the above. All
yeah,
the
you
above.
Are absolutely right. Yes, it causes high winds and flooding, heavy snow, and sometimes blizzard conditions.
Yep.
They happen mostly inland over the greater metropolitan Washington, D.C. areas.
And north.
North, and they're responsible for the area's most hazardous winter weather. That's pretty scary. Yeah. Which 3 months brings the nation's capital its heaviest snowstorms?
Well, I'm sure
March.
February is one of them.
Okay, March is one of them.
April?
No.
January, February, March.
January, February, March, absolutely. It's the latter half of the winter in Washington area that brings the most nor'easterns, it says, that dumps the majority of the snow on our nation's capital. And our final question, just dealing with weather, with winter weather, and there's some other things down here. What was the greatest 24-hour snowfall in Washington, D.C.? 15 inches, 21 inches, or 26 inches?
Oh, 26.
I guess 21, just to be different.
It's 21. On January 27th through 28th of 1922, a storm, nor'eastern, dumped 21 inches of snow in 24 hours. It was known as the Knickerbocker Storm because the heavy snow caused the collapse of the Knickerbocker Theater during a live performance. And we're rejoined by Roy Finkenbein as we're talking about Washington snowstorms. 100 people sadly died inside that theater. What were they doing with a blizzard watching a theater performance? That's pretty bizarre.
It came up all of a sudden.
I guess so.
Maybe it was a Houdini performance.
Okay. That must be kind
of... It was the height of his career, right?
You were waiting for
him. I guess, but that's really, really, really strange. Okay. Now, these questions go kind of every which way in some places.
It's the way we like them.
Okay. What percentage of wives say that their husbands snore?
100%.
Okay, well, this puts it a little lower.
75%?
That's kind of high. That's interesting.
50.
Yes, it's 50%. Now, in the same question line, how many husbands admit to snoring?
10.
That's a little high.
A little high? Wow.
How would they admit it?
How would they know?
I'm a runaway freight train.
There you go. Only 5% admit to actually snoring. I think that's pretty funny. During the first hour after using cocaine, how much does the user's risk of a heart attack increase?
Let's find out. Michael?
We don't have any of that kind of sugar in our studio.
Coffee is as strong as he'll bring us.
I was going to say.
Could you repeat the question?
Okay. During the first hour.
Could you repeat the question? Sorry.
Yeah. During the first hour after using cocaine, how much does the user's risk of a heart attack increase?
I would say by 200%.
You got it.
Well,
that's exactly it. That comes from the American Heart Association. Why would you do that?
I'm just guessing.
That is like so crazy.
So if you jog for 15 minutes, how much does your... I wonder.
Who taps on your window pane to tell you they're in town?
Jack Frost?
No. This is another character, kind of a winter character. And she's a female.
She's a female?
Character.
I don't know. tap on the windowsill?
Uh-huh. It's Susie Snowflake.
Okay.
I let a sheltered light
Is that Strawberry Shortcake's best friend?
It probably is, and there's nothing wrong with that. In North America, children hang their stockings at Christmas time to receive gifts in. In Holland, what do children put out to receive gifts?
Their shoes. And you know how I know that? Because David Sedaris has a hilarious story about Christmas traditions. And I can't give you the whole thing because I'll tell you at the break.
Okay.
But it's really that one's really hilarious. It's funny that you said that.
We put our shoes out at Christmas time. Actually, for the Feast of St. Nicholas on the 6th of December is his feast. And I remember at junior year in Ireland, the girls there were so surprised that Americans knew about that. Because their Santa is like St. Nicholas.
Yeah.
The only weird thing is that they go as far to the legend as St. Nicholas with Black Peter, as they call him, the Moor.
That's the story that David Sedaris tells.
Is there a Mexican version of that, too? Black Pedro, who will...
I don't know.
Oh, that whole story is in Childcraft. If you know, where the good parent by Childcraft.
Yes, indeed.
That whole story is in there, ad infinitum.
Yes. Because at Christmas time, my roommate and I thought, okay, how could we really send our parents something unique? We'll get our picture taken with Irish Santa. So we go to the department store in Cork. And there's a ton of kids lined up, so we can't really see up on the stage where, and when we get around the corner, the bishop's mitre, the crook, and there was this little African fellow standing with St. Nicholas.
Or in the words of Berlusconi, he was suntan.
Yes, oh my, it was like the most bizarre thing.
I heard that.
Yeah, I mean,
did they mistranslate him or something?
I don't think
Knowing Berlusconi, I don't think so.
No, I think he was serious on, but yeah, it was too strange, very strange that way. For every dollar you spend for produce at the supermarket, how much of that dollar goes to the farmer who grew the produce? Let me give you the range. It's 5 cents. Yeah. I was going to say 5, 10, or 15.
And as the son of a farmer,
I was going to say,
I can attest to that.
Yeah, really, think about the hard work that goes in on that, too.
My dad was a dairy farmer for many years, and trust me, when you pay, as I had to pay at Kroger's the other day, $3.32 for a gallon of milk.
Of milk.
And I'm thinking, You get about a dime out of this.
Yeah, and think you had to milk those cows twice a day.
Yes.
Every day of the year. There's no day you can say, oh, I'm going to take a day off from milking those cows. Mm-hmm. Oh, hecky no.
Neither got rain or shine or flu.
Or anything. Yeah, you're out there hooking them up.
4:30
there
in the morning.
You go. What country actually started the Christmas tradition of exchanging gifts? Was it Italy, Greece, or Norway?
Oh.
I'm going to guess Greece.
No, I'm going to guess Italy.
Well, what the heck? Norway.
I guess Norway.
All right, we got it somehow.
Danny, Maggio, hey, Paisano.
I figure because Catholic, the Catholic home is in Rome.
I've got a gift you
can't refuse.
No,
hey,
I was talking about just, it sounds like commercialized Christmas, which I'm surprised the United States wasn't on that list.
If you have a severely stained coffee cup, what is the best way to remove the stains and best ecological way of removing the stains?
Wash it?
Yeah, I would think washing it would do it, but this recommends a certain compound to use.
Baking soda?
It's baking soda, mm-hmm. Absolutely. Because it's pH neutral, so mm-hmm. there's nothing harmful to the environment in baking soda.
Well, I thought baking soda was a base. It's sodium carbonate, right?
Yeah, well, that's... But is it pH neutral? That's what it's saying here. All right, we need to Google that.
I don't know.
Michael's
certainly not acidic.
I thought it was a base because, I mean, you add a little peppermint, and that's homemade toothpaste, right? Uh-huh. And the whole reason why toothpaste works is it neutralizes acid on teeth.
Well, then this can't be pH neutral.
I see my grandmother, till the day she died, which was 1983, brushed her teeth with baking soda and salt.
Yeah, I was going to say salt.
A lot, you know, mixed with the soda is abrasive.
My grand did it as well with salt. Yeah. Because she could never understand why people needed to buy toothpaste. She would say, you got everything you need right out there in the kitchen.
Yeah.
And we're like, all right, Grandma, chocolate syrup, excellent. But no, she would say, Grandma, just got a little salt.
I was telling my African history students the other day, there's a great book called, I think it's Lux Men, Life Boy Women, but it's about how the colonials in Zimbabwe, what is now Zimbabwe, convinced indigenous Africans that they needed things like toothpaste and soap.
Oh, was it pears? The British thought, I think, soap was civilization. Oh, and we'll have to stop there. But let me thank the panel. New homeowner, Professor Boats.
What happened since that day when the Parisians thought that soap was civilization?
Who knows? We will never know. Professor Maggio.
I don't bathe.
So. Oh, well, okay. We know it. Open that door. Professor Finkenbein.
You're wearing me out running up and downstairs.
There's this poor man. Now this word.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is transcribed in the Communication Studies suite of rooms here at the University of Detroit Mercy's McNichols campus. Ask the Professor is produced, technically directed, and finally kept under control by Michael Jason. And our executive producer is Dr. Vivian Dix. So until next week, I'm your host, Kathy Bush. Let's go, Detroit Titans!